If you're like me, you are so fed up with this Hollywood actors and actresses' marriage and divorces. You see that when you go to the grocery store or the super Walmart, and when you're at the checkout stand, and so-and-so is going to divorce, so-and-so is getting married, and so-and-so cheating on somebody. I have a six-word Hebrew phrase for that. Tell it to somebody who cares. I really don't care. I don't want to know who's getting married, who's not going through a divorce. Sometimes you have to wonder what kind of commitment these people have when they get married. Is this another publicity stunt, or is this something they understand? Do they understand the meaning of a commitment? You know, that phrase, death do us part. No other reason other than death do us part. Same can be said of the relationship with God. There are times when you feel like you are passionate for God, you are excited about it, you have a great joy in being a Christian. Because you are on the mountaintop, you're so close to God, you can feel His presence, you can feel His heart, and you can hear Him speaking to you. And there are times you are down in the valley, and you cannot even feel His presence, let alone the knowing that if He exists. And you doubt about everything He said. There are times you feel that way. I feel that way. Some people call it you're in the wilderness. Some people call it in the valley. There are times like that. That doesn't mean that you can say, while you're in the valley, that doesn't mean you can say, well, okay, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm bailing out of this following Christ thing. So I'm chucking this. Some have done that kind of thing. And they are known as backsliders. The second portion of the first chapter of this Second Timothy, Apostle Paul teaches us about not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and declaring to everyone whom we come across. This is a great place for all of us to examine ourselves, self-examination. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, oh, it is so important for us to know the truth. Not only to know the truth, we need to examine our heart. And seeking your truth, that we may dwell in your presence. Lord, there are so many lies and deceptions and confusing doctrines around us to take us away from your presence, from your word. Let us understand your word clearly. And let us not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. That give us a true hope, true love, and true guidance. And also lift up President Obama. Let him stop doing ungodly things such as a taxpayer-funded abortion, killing babies. But let his heart turn to you and do what is right. And also we're asking you extend your protective hands toward our troops around the world, especially one in the Afghanistan and Iraq. You put the hedge of the angelic protection around them and you surround them with your presence and keep them away from enemy's attack. And you willing, let them come back home to their families as a victors soon. We also lift up our law enforcement personnel, the firefighters. And this border patrol agent who go out to into the desert area and isolated place, you be their backup. You be their extra hand to watch out for them. And sheriff deputies and police officers and firefighters. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8 of chapter 1. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoners, but share with me in sufferings of gospel according to the power of God. In verse 7, if you remember, and we just memorized, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but rather spirit of power and love and sound mind. And fear generates several things, if you remember, and I'm sure you went through this kind of thing before. That's depression and worry, isolation, and shame. For some reason, fear gives us shame. Let's face it, folks, none of us enjoy suffering. Any of you guys love suffering? Because you are sick. You're totally sick. I know some teenagers have that, you know, they're known as slashers. They cut themselves. I have no idea why would they do such a thing like that. I know that there might be someone who is trying to be spiritual. Well, I would love to suffer for Jesus. But in reality, they don't like suffering either. How even Jesus said that in Luke chapter 22. Remember that he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Father, if you are willing, let this cup pass by me. Because he didn't want to suffer. And 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, Apostle Paul himself asked God, prayed to him three times, if God is willing, take out this stone in the flesh. He didn't want to suffer. That's normal. However, we all admit that suffering may well be a part of a faithful Christian life. Christians should not suffer because they are doing wrong things or just being obnoxious. You know some of the Christians who are really obnoxious? Please don't name now. If they're suffering because they're obnoxious, they deserve that. But you can do right things and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, still suffer. When we suffer for doing good, that's when we are sharing the suffering of Jesus Christ. This is one of my favorite verses from the Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 10, please. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The suffering of Jesus' sake, suffering for Jesus' sake, is no longer painful. To us, that would be an honor, sharing his suffering. You know, some doctrine, like a faith movement doctrine, says if you are born again Christian, you will never have to go through suffering. And I was thinking, what Bible do you read? What you've been smoking, man? It doesn't work that way. Today, Christians, a lot of Christians, sanitize Jesus and disinfect the cross and making it safe. Folks, many Christians think that following Jesus Christ ends with going to church a couple of times, maybe once in a while. I call it CEO Christian. Christmas, Easter, only Christians. And some people actually think that, well, I go to church a few times a year and then put a couple of dollars in the agape box once in a blue moon. So I did my due. Really, it is more than that. You need to know Jesus Christ. You need to let others know about Jesus Christ. You cannot just say it with your word. You have to back it up with your life. Think about what Jesus teaches us. Jesus tells us that if you want to be great, be a servant of all. And that totally goes against the me first worldly mentality. And he tells us, be like a child. If that's not bad enough, he said, be a slave. Huh? Me, slave? No. And be the last instead of first. This kind of concept would make an immature Christian ashamed of the Christianity. They don't need to be ashamed of Christianity. Apostle Paul knew that the plan of God in Jesus Christ seems foolish to many. But he also knew that it's a living and powerful and active element of God to save the soul and transform lives. He would not be ashamed of it, and Timothy should not be ashamed of it, nor should we. Do you know that there are about 100,000... I heard about 100,000 people get killed, being martyred around the world every year. When? Last 20 years. Every year. That's over 2 million people. Last 20 years. That's more people killed than any other time. It's happening. According to Voice of Modern Magazine, that's happening. And I do seriously hope that you pray for those persecuted brothers and sisters in your prayer regularly. By doing so, you are sharing their suffering, sharing the suffering of Jesus Christ. Then somebody might ask, if God is so powerful, why would he allow his followers to go through that kind of suffering? Why doesn't he rescue them from their suffering and persecution? What kind of glory does he find when his followers suffer or being murdered and being tortured? Good question. I don't have an answer for that. Because I don't know why he does what he does. My mind is infinite. His heart, his wisdom is infinite. But I can tell you this much. January 8, 1956, Jim Elliot and the four other missionaries went down to the Ecuador, and they landed their small plane along the Quarawai River and to evangelize to the Huronari Indians, and all five of them got killed. Their dead bodies floating down the rivers. And the Time magazine called it complete waste of lives. A book called The Through the Gate of the Splendor was written by Jim Elliot's wife, Elizabeth Elliot. A few years later, a young man was on his way to the Marine boot camp in late night. In his Greyhound bus under the little dome light, he was reading this book, Through the Gate of Splendor. And he just got married, and he ended up in the Marine boot camp. And he was thinking, I just want to have a happy married life. That's all he cared to do. By the time he finished the book, right before he arrived in the boot camp, he recommitted his life to Christ. And he said, I will live my life for you for the rest of my life. He got out of the Marine Corps. And then he joined the Dallas Theological Seminary, and he became a pastor. Later, he started a radio program called Insight for Living. His name is Pastor Chuck Swindoll. Some of you know him well. You heard about him, and you listened to him. You've been following him. In 1987, another young man got saved by the introduction of to Jesus Christ by his tax accountant. Tax accountant told him that you should listen to this local Christian radio station as often as you can, as much as you can. So that young man started to listen to that radio station programs, and one of his favorite ones was Insight for Living. And he studied Bible every day. To him, Pastor Chuck Swindoll is the most influential Bible teacher in his spiritual life. 13 years later, that young man was called to be a pastor and started a church, Calvary Chapel of Sahuarita. Yes. I was influenced by the Chuck Swindoll, in turn, who was influenced by the Jim Elliot. See the progression? Does it get glory through the Jim Elliot's seemingly untimely death? Let me put it this way. How many people's lives did Jim Elliot's death touch? Millions. If he was alive, and if he's still in the Quarry River and evangelizing to that Indian tribe, how many people did he touch? Probably hundreds. God, when God sees the total picture, we only see the small portion of one brush stroke. And we're telling God, I don't get it. Well, we don't get it because we don't see the whole picture. Don't ever doubt God. If you don't understand, just say, I don't get it, God, but I will follow you no matter what. As we sang, no matter what, we will follow. Let's go down to the verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Some people said, I found Jesus. I have to object that comment. How can Jesus be found when he was never been lost? You get it? We don't find Jesus. We are found by him. And we were blind. Now we see. Now we see the truth. We must respond to his call when we sense it. Not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose, he called us. That is holy calling, folks. That is holy calling. Get this, ladies and gentlemen. We are our infinitely wise, all-knowing God direct his gracious work toward us when we only existed in the fact in his knowledge. Before Genesis 1:1 ever came into the picture, he knew us. How can we fathom that? We cannot. Before the creation, when there is nothing except Trinity, before the angels were ever created, he knew you. He knew me. He knew what kind of sinner we are, yet still he chose us. Tell me that's not love. Because everything we do is connected with time, and without time we do not exist. But to our eternal God, every moment is present. Get it? Every moment is I am. He exists before the time was ever created and will remain when the time is expired. John chapter 8, verse 58, please. Am I going too fast? John 8, 58. Any of you sleeping? Remember, I have a mobile pulpit. I can go close to you. You awake? Okay. I like this mobile pulpit. Yeah. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, what? I am. Hebrews 13:8. Turn to your right, before James, right after Philemon. 13:8. Are you there yet? Yes, no? Okay. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know what's the best part of the whole thing? That those who are born again Christian, we get to live in eternity with Him after time no longer exists. No longer we have to use a daily planner. I can say goodbye to this iPhone PDA and chuck it all the way. When we run out of time on this earth, we get expired. We die. We become stiff. And death is the second biggest fear after public speaking. I don't know why you guys have a problem with the public speaking. But Jesus abolished the death, right? He abolished the death. Death is no longer, it has power over born-again Christian. Of course, you guys remember, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave. Where is your grip? That's not by the Shakespeare, but it's from the Apostle Paul. John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. Next week, I'm going to bring the resurrection poster. I want you to take it all over the town and paint the town with that poster, okay? John chapter 11, verse 25 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall What does it say? Live. To the believers of Jesus Christ, listen, to the believers of Jesus Christ, death is nothing more than graduation ceremony. Isn't that true? Amen. The understanding of afterlife was murky at the best in the Old Testament. But Jesus shed a light through the gospel. Now we understand clearly what the life after death is like. Through the gospel. It is no wonder why Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You really don't need to be afraid of death. For us to die, we're going to be in heaven. Oh, wow. That's a lot of loss, right? Sometimes I see people, they don't want to die. They don't want to die. I say, really? Give me a chance. Move down to verse 11 of chapter 1 in 2 Timothy. To which I was appointed a preacher, apostle, and teacher of the Gentiles. Note that thing. Preacher, apostle, and teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things, and nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I believe, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Jesus Christ had met Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus. You know that story from the chapter 9 of the book of Acts. Has personally called him to be in the ministry. And Paul is the herald, which means a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a messenger. And the herald was the official messenger of the king or the emperor, and his message should be treated with great respect. Paul was not only the herald, he was an apostle, which means one sent with a commission. Not every Christian can be an apostle. The office of the apostleship is being closed. Why? Because one of the qualifications is you have to meet Jesus in person. I see some of these charismatic people saying, well, I'm an apostle of a prayer. I said, who appoints you? By yourself? It cannot be done. Unless he met Jesus in person, and so far I have not heard that. They are chosen by the Lord himself personally or through the Holy Spirit. Apostle represent Jesus Christ, and to reject apostle is to reject the Lord. Apostle Paul was a teacher of the Gentiles. All the Gentiles believers owed him great debt. And they should come along and rally for him to support him, but they ashamed of his status, being a prisoner of Rome, and they deserted him. Seeking of being called of the Lord by some may think that, well, this is for you guys, you know, the full-time ministers. For that kind of question, I have a question. I have another question to ask. Counter question. Are you part-time Christian then? Let me ask you one more time. Are you part-time Christian? So you come, when you come to the church, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. As soon as you walk out the door, I'm back to heathen now. Is that what it is? You act like a carnal people, talk like a carnal people. It should not be. Folks, there is no such a thing as a full-time or part-time Christian. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. If you are born again Christian, you represent Jesus Christ to this unbelieving, dying world. Your word, your vocabulary, your testimony, the way you live, the way you live at home, workplace, or wherever you go, you represent Him 24/7. How do you represent Him? Do others give glory to God for what you say and what you do? Or do they mock at Him because of your hypocrisy? You may say, aren't you a little harsh? No, I'm not. I'm just stating the fact. What do they? How do they respond to you? How do they respond to God? We must know what we believe. Let me say one more time. We must know what we believe. You cannot say, how do you know, when somebody asks you, how do you know the Bible is true? You cannot say, well, because I feel it. Well, you can have an enchilada, bad enchilada. You can feel it next day too. You cannot go by the feeling. You have to know what you believe. That's why I insist studying the Word of God. I'm not asking you to get my opinion. I'm asking you to get what God says. Even more important to know whom you believe. Whom you believe. When we know how great God is, when God and His glory become great fact in our lives, then we really get to know, we get to have a boldness. Greek philosopher Socrates said, know yourself. I'm sure you heard that phrase. Know yourself. But that will not take you to heaven, but it will certainly will take you to hell if that's all you get. It sounds fine and dandy, but it's not. It will not make you to the heaven. I say, know Christ and you will know yourself. It shall certainly lead you to heaven because the knowledge of Jesus Christ is a saving knowledge. The more I get to know Jesus Christ, the more I get to know myself, how wicked I am. And it keeps me humble. It keeps me on my knees. It keeps me depending on Him. Usually I make an application, but I'd rather have a set of examination, three of them. First one, ask yourself if you act in front of others as though you are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus by not declaring Him as your Savior and Lord. Do they know you as you are born-again Christian, or do they know they don't even know you because you are a secret agent of God? Just show badge quickly. See, this is a divine badge. Do you do it that way? Are you so secret service agent that nobody knows that you are born again Christian? Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ, the one who died for you? Second thing you should ask. More importantly, ask yourself if your life reflects Jesus is the Lord of your life, not yourself. What do I mean? Many of you know that Jesus is the Savior. Some people just stop there. My fire, eternal fire insurance is paid up, so I can do whatever I want to do. It goes more than that. Jesus should be not only your Savior, but also He should be the Lord of your life. You should not be the Lord of your life. Because if you are the Lord of your life, you have idolatry. And God will not put up with that. Third thing that you need to Ask yourself. Ask yourself, when was the last time you told others about the way of salvation through Jesus Christ? When was the last time? I know. Some of you are thinking, that's your job. That's what we're paying you for. Are you an ambassador of Jesus Christ? 24/7? In your bulletin. We're in the bottom. Here. See that? What does it say? Knowing Jesus, making Him known. That's our call. That's our job description. Get it? Let's stand up and pray. Gracious Father, we are grateful that You give us truth through Your Word whenever we desperately need it. We're asking You to go with us. Remind us what we just learned today. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us boldly claim who You are in our lives, not as just Savior, but the Lord of our lives. And instead of holding on to Your truth and to ourselves, but let us share that truth with others. Let our actions speak so loud that our word is not necessary. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.